first off, I don't want this episode to be a speculation episode because I actually want to talk about mm-hmm. the actual show itself. And obviously, spoilers. It's going to be a spoilers, please episode.
Yeah.
So there's that. Oh, sure. Also another thing too is, speaking of spoilers, let's not talk about future comic book storylines that aren't in the show yet.
Yes.
Because it will be kind of somewhat spoilers for the show only yep. watchers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, Stuff and Junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
This is John Ming.
This is episode 771, but it's also, spoilers please, number 274-4, X-Men 97. Before we start with the spoiler section, a non-spoiler quick review of season one of X-Men 97.
Actually, before we even start on the review and first impression, best impression and all that stuff, I want to go back to 1992. You know what I mean? When the original show first aired and stuff like that. And I want to mention that this show, plus Batman animated, plus The Simpsons, were probably the three most important shows of young Johnny when I was like 15 years old at the time and stuff like that. So,
for sure.
And yeah, it was like appointment television for me in 1992. Every Saturday morning, I was in front of TV. I loved it. I was obsessed with it. I was 15 at the time, like I said, and I've been reading comic books for about a couple years now. So to see X-Men in an anime series was a big, big deal. The other big deal, like I said earlier, was Batman, the anime series. But unlike Batman, the anime series, X-Men, they actually rip storylines, characters straight from the comic books. You know what I mean? That's what really got me going. Got me excited and stuff like that. So so I loved it. And now for this series, I would compare it to Picard season 3 in the sense that it does not rely on nostalgia. The thing I just mentioned, it does not rely on, you know, your memory, your good feelings. In fact, it's back and it's telling. And there's a reason to be back. You know, there's a reason they're telling new stories. They're telling new, they're pushing the stories forward, pushing the characters forward. And I loved it. It was a big thumbs up for me, X-Men 97.
Okay, but since we're going with that direction, I too was a watcher of this when it first came out in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But in my case, I would say I would begrudgingly watch the show on a weekly basis. And I say begrudgingly because I was one of those a-holes who were like, this isn't how it happened in the comic books. Why are they doing it this way? Like, they completely wasted a storyline by only making it only like one episode. Oh, they're going to do it this way? That doesn't make complete sense. Blah, blah, blah. Besides that, I did like the show when I grew up. Just like I said, begrudgingly, because I was that nerd geek person going like, oh, this is
what a that guy.
Yeah, this isn't like accurate to the source material. You know, that kind of guy. So obviously, I've grown from that. I'm now against people who do that. But I was going to say X-Men 97 is the best season out of this X-Men animated show. Because it didn't have to deal with the network. So even though it had a maturity level that you would not see in regular cartoons back then, it still had to restrict itself. Not only that, but the budget was pretty small compared to this one where the animation is really nice to look at. And also the writing is a lot more, I would say, tight for this version.
Sophisticated. Yeah. It's matured.
Matured. There we go. Matured. Yes. Yes. So X-Men 97 is a show that is pretty enjoyable. Very entertaining.
I also got the soft pedal. It's a great show. It's probably the best new show I've seen this year and stuff like that. It's the best show I've seen this year. Big thumbs up.
Oh, we'll get to that. And now also as background, I watch this on a weekly basis. John Mang, you?
I started watching 9 episodes in. I watched there was 9 episodes out already. I started watching Sunday, and I saved the last 3 for the night that episode 10 came out and stuff like that. So I binge watched it.
Okay. And I watch it on a weekly basis. So I mm-hmm. I was one of the regular people who had to deal with all the cliffhangers and all that stuff and what mm-hmm. would happen the following week.
And I'm the guy that had to go on Twitter to enter, you know, mute X-Men 97. Spoilers and all that stuff. I'm one of those guys.
Yes. All right.
First of all, the writing It's immaculate. It's wonderful. Not just the plot of it, the story of it, but the actual dialogue. There's a lot of poetry. There's a lot of like wordplay and stuff like that. It's also corny and cheesy in the best ways possible and stuff like that. You mentioned it earlier. The animation is gorgeous and stuff like that. When I first saw the teaser trailer that came out a few months ago, I thought, oh, they're kind of, the art's still within. It still looks like the 92 series and stuff like that. But when you actually see the episodes, it's actually, it's still, they use the framework of the old cartoon, but it's like gorgeous and stuff like that. You know, the animation's still, it's going, you know, it's modern and stuff like that. It's great and stuff like that. So yeah, these are all wonderful things about it.
The animation to the point, and now people want Disney to go ahead and redo the old series into this kind of animation.
Well,
and come on, people, can't we just leave that alone?
Yeah,
it is what it was. So yeah, come on.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier, I'm a big fan of the 92 series, obviously. But leading up to this new series and stuff, I did go back and watch a few of the old episodes. And it's rough. It has not aged very well and stuff like that. I mentioned Batman, the animated series. If you go back, the animation has kind of like dated and stuff like that. But overall, I think Batman animated series is timeless. You know what I mean? Yep. Because of the story, the vibe and stuff like that. You know what I mean? The X-Men 92 series, the original series, not so much.
Yeah, I think the Batman Superman era, essentially they realized that if you go for the Art Deco thing, it's always going to work, no matter what year you watch it from.
Mm-hmm.
While the whole, like, let's try to make them look like Jim Lee characters, and that didn't age very well. So so there's that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, animation is fantastic. I'm hoping they've already animated season 2, from what I understand. I don't know, actually. I don't know. Do you know how far they are in season 2?
Latest update is the producer of the series has said they're like in the editing stages right now. They're putting it together. Okay. They're putting
And before we jump into the rest of the commentary about the show, the showrunner, Bo DiMaio, was fired from Disney.
Yes.
As far as the reason why it happened, nothing has been disclosed on either side, which makes you think that there's a legal issue to it as well.
It's an NDA. He signed an NDA.
Yeah, there's an NDA too. But it sounds like something where it's like, yeah, you probably don't want this to be out in the open. So, but they amicably separate because he has something bad to say. Of course, it could be part of the NBA too. But yeah, he did say that he wrote a lot of season 2, but he won't be completely involved in the actual production of season 2.
My understanding is, the writing of season 2 is already done and stuff like that. But the actual production, the animation, the voice recording, any kind of rewrites and retouches still need to be done. And he won't be involved in that and stuff like that. But the overall scripts have all been turned in and stuff like that. And he will not be involved going forward. Also, this is kind of a joke, but we do live in the Me Too era. We do live in a toxic work environment era. But given the quality of the first season, I'm like, maybe everybody should reconsider. You know what I mean?
It does seem like to me he had a vision for the show and he would not allow anybody else to put their input on like how that's going to play out. So,
And also, I 90% of the time will not defend the corporation, Disney in this case. You know what I mean? But it seems like reading between the lines and and other stuff, you know, because this guy's been around for a while. It seems like he's been fired or been let go from different places. It seems like he's kind of a taskmaster, I guess, is a nice way of putting it. A ball buster.
He's a heart. You know is he a he or is it a date thing? Because I'm pretty sure he was gay. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. My understanding, his background is Black, Latino, and queer.
Okay. But yeah, from what I understand, he is hard to work with, to put it mildly. So there's that. Yeah.
Season's so good.
But the season's so good.
They should really record. Like I said, the writing in this is absolutely music to my ears. You know what I mean? It's one of the most quotable series I've seen in a long time.
Well, there are two other writers for the show. It isn't all Bo DiMaio. There's Charlie Feldman.
Yes.
And there's also Anthony Saliti. Oh, also J.B. Ballard. So if any of those other three, especially Anthony Saliti, who did the last three episodes with Bo DiMaio, if any of those three take over for the show, I think we're still in good hands.
Who wrote number 5? Episode number 5.
The Anthony Saliti guy?
No, it's Bo DiMaio. He has sole writing credit, I think.
Oh, right. The best episode of the show, of the season.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, you're right. You're right. Okay. Now, normally I would like do some kind of like theme song here, but since we were releasing episodes, releasing episodes on the YouTube now, it's gonna get flagged for all those kind of stuff. I guess this is the first point of space where you're not gonna get. Spoilers. Okay, so spoilers for X-Men 97. Remember it. I guess we'll just jump right into this one. Remember, it is the best episode of the season. I mean, the last three episodes is a nice banger of episodes, but number five is like a perfect kind of episode. In fact, not only that, but I would say the second episode is also really, really good. That's probably my second favorite of the season.
I'll get to that too. Yes.
The one with the Magneto UN thing, and that's also written specifically by Bo DiMaggio. So there's that. Those two episodes, man, the Remember It and all that stuff, that's going to be a thing. Gambit is going to be a really popular cosplay to play at conventions this year. So is Rogue, I'm assuming. That episode really throws you on the loop in terms of like the direction it's going to go. Like if I'm as somebody who was watching it and wasn't sure where it was going, just that last 5-10 bits was just like, you're just holding your breath, like, what am I watching here? It's like, are they doing this? Like, oh my gosh, you know, kind of thing. And I stopped reading the comic books. I stopped reading the X-Men after the Onslaught. Onslaught made me stop reading the X-Men. Now, I know bits and pieces of what happened in the past 30 years, but the whole Genosha thing, it did happen in the comic book. In fact, in the comic book, it happened a little bit differently, and just about everybody died in the comic books compared to this. So it's a little different in that regards, but man, the way it played out was it just really threw you on a loop. There's like three different like love triangles happening in the same episode, and it all just played out perfectly. Like it was like it was a deck of cards that never fell, and then it's amazing.
You mentioned a couple of things I'll follow up on right now. as far as episode number five, it's not only the best episode of the season, it's the best one of the best TV episodes of television ever. You know what I mean? It's a historic episode. It's
Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah, it's up there with Game of Thrones. It's up there with the best Simpsons episode. It's best up there with the best X-Files, Star Trek Next Generation episode and stuff like that. It's one of the best episodes of television ever and stuff like that. And I saw that only a week ago. And the thing that separates this episode from the ones I just sort of mentioned, like you said, one of the big components of the episode is it's very horny. It's a very horny episode. It's a messy episode as far as like romance and stuff like that. You know what I mean? There's Magneto and Rogue, there's Cyclops and Jean and her twin and her clone and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. And then also Wolverine and Cyclops.
Wolverine and Cyclops. That's what separates it from other great episodes of television and stuff like that. And like you said, the last 10 minutes is just magical. And also, like you said, I had no idea that was going to happen. And I read those comic books that you just mentioned. But in that episode, as it unfolds, I'm just a dummy and stuff like that. I had no idea I was going to go in that direction and stuff like that. I distinctly remember thinking like 10, 12 minutes into it, like, where's the action going to come from? Where's the villain going to come from and stuff like that? Even though I saw the watch, I was like, wow, where is this going and stuff like that? Because I think the episode kind of hints at it, foreshadows it, but there's also a little bit of misdirection because Emma, the Frost Queen, is there.
Right.
Sebastian Shaw is there. So I thought maybe, oh, that's where it's heading and stuff like that. But it's not. And the last 10 minutes of it, when the thing happens, when the massacre happens, it's breathtaking. It's amazing and stuff like that. And this is the last episode I saw before I went. I saw this during lunch. This is the last episode I saw before going back to work. And I'm just crying in my car. I'm a 46-year-old dude. I'm just crying in tears and stuff, just bawling my eyes out for something that happened like a month ago. You know what I mean? That's how far behind I am. You know what I mean? It's an amazing episode of television. Big, big thumbs up.
Yeah. I mean, the last line was perfectly put. You know, Remy, I can't feel you. You know, it was just like tragic. It was so tragic. And you know, we're so used to like having comic book characters just not die, or they die and they come back to life. But this one, it feels very fatal. It was like, he's dead. You know, it does seem like that. Like the other people who died in that episode, like Magneto and Leech and whatnot, you don't really have an idea if they're dead or not. Even the ones where you saw the body, like Sebastian Shaw, Moira MacTaggert, even Madeline Pryor, you're like, well, they can't be dead, right?
Well, I'm pretty sure Banshee died. I'm pretty sure Banshee died.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean, though. Like, but we're so used to seeing X-Men characters die and come back to life, die and come back to life over and over again. It was that moment where I was watching, it's like, well, they can't be dead. I mean, they're going to come back, right? But then when the Gambit thing happened, I'm like, oh, crap, they're really killing off these people. You know, it's just like, wow, Wow, very, very impressive. Yeah, it was completely like flashback to when we were watching Game of Thrones weekly by weekly, mm-hmm. and then they throw something at the very end, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, like this is the water cooler moment that people are saying they're missing, and X-Men 97 is delivering on that. It's amazing. Yeah.
The other comparison I would say is probably the end of the Red Wedding district. Yeah. Demon Slayer.
Oh, Demon Slayer. Yeah.
That's the only comparison as far as in terms of like edge of your seat excitement and stuff like that. Because I rewatched it like 3 or 4 times since I saw the episode originally, and it still works, man. It just the way it unfolds and stuff like that, it's magical. It's pulse pounding and stuff like that.
Yeah. I want you to take another stab at your thoughts on this show before I jump into the other things that I want to talk about. So go ahead.
Oh. The other thing I want to mention was, since you also mentioned episode 2, I also believe episode 2 is the second best episode and stuff like that, with the Magneto speech in the UN and stuff like that. Yeah. And the reason I brought this up is I'm also tied into Bo DeMaio, the head writer of the first season and stuff like that. I looked at his age. He's 42, right? So he's like maybe 3 or 4 years younger than I am and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But the way he thinks about bigotry, prejudice, and stuff like that, it's very much how I view it now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you look at the way this series, these 10 episodes, talks about it, it's very much aligned with how progressive people have thought about prejudice and biases and, you know, white supremacy and stuff like that. You know what I mean? The line that Magneto gives a Holocaust survivor in front of the UN, where he says, what do you call it? The oppressed can one day be the oppressor, I believe is the line, mm-hmm. and that he wants to break that cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. You know what I mean?
And the timing too, the timing.
That's what I'm going to get to. The timing of it all. When I heard those lines, I was thunderstruck. I was dumbfounded by the poetry of it and stuff like that. For people who can't figure it out or not watching the news, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? And if you don't get it, you don't understand it, I'm sorry, man, but you got to figure it out, man. It's beautiful. You know what I mean? Because it's just wonderful. I don't know what else to say. And the other kind of just throughout the 10 episodes, but the other time it came out was when Professor X was talking to the Shi'ar. He's talking about, you know, colonization and stuff like that, and what it does to. I was like, what is this? This is unbelievable. This is not. If they did this back in the 90s, they wouldn't have done it this way. You know,
not this obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. Because back then it was always, what about, you know, what about, you know what I mean? It's always 50-50. What aboutism? You know what I mean? The minority group is a terrorism, you know what I mean? They just got both sides and stuff like that. But clearly this guy understands racism and white supremacy. Yeah. So, and this is also the other example I like to use is the storm with Forge, mm-hmm. you know, as they're going through the cave and Forge is talking about, and Storm is talking about, white supremacy, the one that most insidious things about it is like they want to make the minorities feel like they're not normal, where they're the other and they're beneath, and they have to reach up to where they are and stuff like that. You know what I mean? To make them feel lesser. So it's just incredible. It's an incredible, mature piece of writing and stuff like that. So shout out to him.
Agreed. What you pointed out is so true. Like in the 90s, the villains were villains. Like, you knew they were the villains. But this one is not afraid to say, hey, the people you think are good guys, they're also bad. Yeah. And the people who you think are bad guys, they're also, they have a subtlety to them where, are you sure they're not wrong? You know, it's that kind of a thing. So yeah, it's amazing how they were able to do this in a, like a 30-minute episode show. Yeah. And in a 10-minute the 10 episode run of a season, and they're able to cram it all in together. And it is pretty amazing how they were able to pull it off. Yeah.
And on a personal level, me versus 15 years ago, this version of me versus 15-year-old me, I am definitely more, hey, Magneto was right, man. I mean, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's going to be t-shirts, man. T-shirts, Magneto was right. Magneto was right.
You know what I mean? White supremacists, you know what I mean? It just shouldn't be kumbaya. Hey, let's educate these guys. Let them, you know what I mean? No, the bad guys, the white supremacists, bigotry. They should live in fear. They should feel terror and stuff like that. You know what I mean? They just can't. We can't just be like changing hearts of mind and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Well,
one of the best moments in the series is like Magneto telling Xavier, "Shut the f up." You know what I mean? This, you know what I mean? So yeah, It's amazing stuff. It's amazing stuff.
Okay, so going to that, I think that's the other main thing that we have to talk about is the Magneto is Right thing and then Professor X coming back. Going into it as a weekly show, I was like, well, Professor X got to side with Magneto on this. And then I was honestly disappointed that he didn't, right? Mm-hmm. But now that I think about it, that's where the subtlety comes in again, once again, with the show. Yeah. Where it's like, Magneto was right, but the way he's going about it is also what he shouldn't do.
Yeah. You know? Well, the thing with Magneto is, at the very end, for him to become the villain, quote-unquote villain, of the episodes, and then the end is, he had to threaten everybody's life on Earth. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Because everything... You know what I mean? So that's how they have to push Magneto and his behavior to make him look like the quote unquote bad guy and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So yeah.
So where do you side in that? Xavier is like you know, you have too much anger in you and it's causing you to act like this, right? And we're all like going like, let Magneto act. You know, it's like get his revenge. But at the same time, I understand why Xavier is saying, I know, as a professor, as a teacher, hey, you can't go this far.
I would say if I had to do a pie chart, I would still say maybe 70% Magneto, 30% Charles Xavier. And hey, because, you know, a part of me still believes, hey, we have to break the cycle of violence. You can't let your past anger or past sorrow haunt you. And you know what I mean? You can't be, you know, you can't still be that violent, or, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, so, the whole eye for an eye thing is not, it's not something that we're supposed to strive for, but it's really tempting. You know, that kind of thing.
It's really tempting. I'm more than tempting. I think, like I said, as I get older and stuff, as I see more, I live more in the world, I kind of understand it, man. You know what I mean? Like I said, you just can't just rely on hearts of mind, change your hearts of mind, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Bad people, evil people should feel a certain sense of consequence. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's tricky and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But all this, but the fact that we have this kind of discussion or thought or because of a 10 episode, extra episode TV show, it says a lot. You know what I mean?
Yes. So the other thing we have to talk about is the other villain, Bastion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also another one of those like Magneto is right thing. Bastion, obviously, the way the show is set up is that he's wrong for this. Bastion is essentially what Magneto was going to do as well. Is that Bastion was even more extreme about it.
Mm-hmm.
Although in a way, Magneto was also pretty extreme. But Bastion is basically what Magneto could have been. How about that?
But he's also more of a self-loathing, self-hating. What do you call it? If he is a mutant, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of
He is. I know in the comic books he's not. Like, they made it obvious that he's not a mutant in the comic books. But I think Bo DiMaggio made it this way to give it that extra flavor of like, no, he's a mutant. He's a self-hating mutant. But that has to like basically a gay person who's just in the closet and hates being gay.
Yeah.
You know, and then
he's coming at it from a different angle. And stuff like that.
But in the very end, you know, he finally accepted who he is. Because remember, like, there was a whole, when you said that the dialogue is very, very, like, purposeful. Like, when he was all talking about you mutants, you do mutants, at the very end, he's like, we.
We.
So, and that's something that shocked me, too. Cyclops, like saying, hey, we got to talk this out. You know, we can help you.
Yeah.
Not what I expected to happen. It's amazing. Like, wow. Like, you totally went the other direction, and you were trying to make us just go for the kill, and you went like, no, you're the person who got Gambit killed and all that stuff, but we're still here, a family, and we're going to help you out if you're willing to let us.
We're sharing.
Oh my gosh.
We're all in it together.
It's just like not what I expected. Not what I expected.
Yeah, and my other favorite moment from Cyclops is like in that interview, he kind of blows up on the interview and stuff like that.
Oh yes, that one. Yeah. Episode two, once again.
That hits at a more militant, a more aggressive Cyclops, that's closer to Xavier, which is true for his comic book arc and stuff like that. Which something I don't think you've read, right?
I know about it, right?
Yeah. So that
no spoilers part, to the people who don't know, but not yeah,
right. But that part really, really got me excited because, like I said, I like that version of Cyclops actually more than anything we've seen and stuff like that. And they hint at it in this show.
That's why I was surprised with him reaching a hand to Bastion. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I guess you're not there yet.
Right.
But okay. But yeah, this show has so much layers. The whole Rogue by itself, like you forget how powerful Rogue is after you see mm-hmm. her kicking ass so much. You forget how powerful Storm is after you see her kicking ass so much. You know, these are like, I was Asiko, Omega level mutants who were literally the gods on Earth. You know, and it's amazing. One complaint though is the Phoenix thing. Kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. it's like, oh, you just need her to do this just for this one scene, and then now she's gone. I'm like, okay.
Two things right there. Number one, the Omega level threat, the Omega level of mutants. That's a recent development and stuff like that. Actually, something they introduced after the original comic book run and stuff like that. It was introduced, I think, in the last 10 years or so in the comic books and stuff like that.
That's not true. The whole Sentinel thing talked about Omega level stuff.
Really?
Yeah, in the 80s. Yeah, because I remember Omega level.
Or is it the fact that they actually fleshed it out in the comic books recently?
The Omega level thing was a slow moving process. They mentioned it, and then they kind of like hint at it, and then eventually it led to the storyline, the 12. Remember the 12 thing?
Right.
And then it kind of went from there. Yeah. No. It's an ongoing thing that any writer just adds to the mythology of what the Omega thing is. Yeah.
Right. So that's when they flesh it out. I mean, you know, Omega level and then goes from like all the way down. Right. That's the recent development.
Yeah.
Right?
But beginning, they I believe in the 80s or was it? I think it was the 80s. I think Chris Claremont mm-hmm. introduced it, the whole Omega level thing.
Okay.
But
okay.
But it wasn't like fleshed out until decades later, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Since you mentioned the ending, I will say one of my complaints about the series is, I do feel like the three-part conclusion, it's a little busy. A lot of things happened in the last three episodes. They could have taken out one or two things and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's a bit much. At one point, Jubilee and Sunspot had to go from the atmosphere to like where Forge is, and they established he just learned how to fly, right? I think that's a bit much. You know what I mean? And like you said, they also had the stuff with the Phoenix, that stuff with Sinister, Cable, Magneto, and Charles. It's a little busy. You know what I mean?
Well, that's gonna go into my next point. Well, not my next point, but before I go to that point, is there anything else other thing you want to point out before I jump into this direction of the narrative?
Good things or bad things?
Well, for me, it's bad things. Good things.
Okay, so I'll mention a couple another good thing. Even though in the last 10 years. Last 15 years, the MCU, DC, all that stuff. There's been a proliferation of comic book content out there, right? Mm-hmm. Even despite all that, when they make cameos by other Marvel characters, I still giggle like a little schoolgirl. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When Doctor Strange comes out, when Spider-Man comes out and stuff like that.
did you see what other people have said about that? So they had a big cameo where they showed Peter Parker and Mary Jane and then they show Captain America and Iron Man hiding in a bunker, you know, whilst Doctor Strange is literally trying to help people in a hospital.
I was gonna mention that later on, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The thing I was gonna mention was over the 10 episodes, there are winners and losers, right? The biggest winner is Gambit, I think, by far, right?
By far.
He comes out. He is iconic now and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And then Magneto, Storm, and Jean Grey's relationship and stuff like that. All that stuff. These are all the winners. You know who the biggest loser of the series is?
Captain America?
Captain America. Yes. He's a little bitch. He's a little cuckold and stuff like that. He's just the America. He's just a political tool and stuff like that.
As I say, this is a betrayal to the actual comic book character of Captain America. But go on.
He had two swings to do the right thing in these episodes. He whiffed on both of them. What a puss.
Now, listeners, if you're not familiar with Captain America in the comic books, this is going all the way back to the 50s and 60s. Captain America went against the government multiple times. Mm-hmm. Multiple times. So the fact that he was just a government lackey here was just like kind of embarrassing. But yeah.
Just a spineless douchebag and stuff like that. You know, spineless. Oh, big loser. Anyway, yeah. So that's another plus for me. What else I was gonna mention? Go ahead. You go on to the bad things because I got a couple. I got one major one actually. Yeah.
Before I jump into that, there is this comment here on Threads actually where somebody goes, "Why can't we get a villain like this in the MCU?" Referring to Bastion, I understood his motivation completely, yet he was brutal as hell. Now, I know there's a lot of love for X-Men 97 right now, but to say that Bastion is better than the MCU movies or the MCU villains, and they didn't do...
That's a bit much.
The MCU villains didn't do anything like this, that is a bit much. You know, that isn't giving credit to the fact that Bastion's main final plan was essentially what Ultron did in Age of Ultron. Like, did we not forget about that? Bastion, MCU villains not having motivation? Are you forgetting about Thanos? Are you forgetting about Scarlet Witch? I mean, come on. So it's like I know people are hating on the MCU movies and the TV shows, but come on, come on. Give credit where it's due.
Honestly, if I had to power rank all the villains that came that showed up in the 10 episodes, I like Bastion a lot, but I don't think it would be number one, stuff like that.
Yeah, but I'm surprised I even liked Bastion, because it seemed like he came out of nowhere.
He's good.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere, and we're like, oh, he's the main villain this whole time, and everything was orchestrated by him. Even the 90s X-Men, the original series, he had ties into all that. Yeah. I think it's pretty genius that they pulled it that way. Didn't know anything about this character, because I left the comic books before he showed up, and I kind of like, oh, this is a pretty cool character. You know, so I'm impressed. I'm impressed that and at the end, I actually like this character in terms.
And going back to what I said earlier, I think he's also a victim of the last few episodes being a little too busy, being a little too much. Because at some point, because they do that Star Wars thing, which is a land battle and there's an air battle, right? And you cut between the two of them.
Right.
And at some point, he gets powered up like a Japanese anime villain, something like that. You know what I mean? He transforms and he goes, it's just a little busy. You know, it's a bit much. I need something a little bit cleaner. You know what I mean? Because these two, when you do the land and air battle, you usually don't connect in that way. You know what I mean? I just think it's a bit much. And also, speaking of villains, I just have a soft spot in my heart for Mojo. I just love Mojo and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I rank Mojo higher than Bastion if I had to rank all the villains and stuff like that. I love Mojo a lot.
Are you referring to the Jubilee episode?
Yes.
that's the episode where I think most people were like kind of tuned out a little bit.
I love that episode and stuff like that. I love the fact that they take the youngest character and they talk about nostalgia and stuff like that, that got to be a victim of it. I love the fact that it's a half episode, just like in a comic book where you might get like 20 pages of a story, but then at the end, there's another story with the Forge and the Storm thing. I loved it. You know what I mean? I love the animation that one too. So, yeah.
Okay. No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Another thing too is Wolverine. I know the MCU, not the MCU in general, but the movies in general, X-Men's all about Wolverine. I complained about this since the very first Bryan Singer X-Men, where it's like, Wolverine's not the main character, it's the X-Men. Mm-hmm. And I do love the fact that they stuck with it. They stuck with the, no, he's part of an ensemble cast, folks. He's not Wolverine and the X-Men. It is the X-Men. So I do like that. I appreciated that they held true. And he was still short, guys. Wolverine's a short guy, so
he doesn't come in until maybe 15 minutes into the first episode, and he's basically out of the last episode, right?
And he's still a brawler. He didn't suddenly become like this expert person, whatever. He's still he's really good at what he does. But
and the stuff with Morph, the fact that they're hitting at a homoerotic relationship, it's the best part, one of the best parts of the show. Big thumbs up.
Well, Morph is queer. It's another queer character. Yeah. So there's that, right? So I wonder if they'll ever address that in the future with Morph. Although I know car purists will kind of like take a little bit of a shine, not a shine, but a little bit of a shade with the whole Morph Wolverine thing. Because even in the 90s, I had an issue with that. Like, Nightcrawler is Wolverine's best friend, not Morph, right? So the fact that the show still stuck with that, fine. They established the mythology. Wolverine's best friend is Morph in this one. Even though Nightcrawler's right there.
Yeah. Speaking of winners and losers, big winner is also Nightcrawler. And more exactly, his bath. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
This is the best bathing ever. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, the way they handled everybody, even Cable. Like Cable didn't really have much to do, but the short things that they did. Oh, speaking of crying, that one scene where Scott Summers and Jean Grey had that heart-to-heart with Cable and Diner.
Mm-hmm.
My God, like the way they were able to write that and give all that emotion into it. Amazing.
Very moving. The stuff with the eyes and stuff like that, it's very moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very nice.
So, are ready for some negative comments? Because I do have some.
Yes. I have two more. Because I mentioned one earlier and stuff like that. The one small nit. Oh, go ahead.
I'll let you go first. Go ahead.
Yeah. One small nitpick I had was, at the end of the first episode, it seemed like Sunspot was going to go back home. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, if you ever need me, just just call me. I'll be there and stuff like that. I get back to my regular life. And then he's just there for the rest of the series. They never explained that. You know what I mean?
I don't think that needs to be explained. He became Jubilee's friend kind of thing. And obviously, she needs another teenager to play off with, you know.
Yeah, I understand all that. But seeing that she was like the same place that like he's saying goodbye. That's all I'm saying. It's of all the issues I have, this is the very small one. So that the biggest nitpick, the biggest issue is I think there's genuine criticism and stuff like that. To me, the X-Men is, this is also a difference between 15-year-old me and 46-year-old me. The thing about the X-Men today, as I see it, is a very queer allegory now. You know what I mean? It's a queer story for me personally and stuff like that. And the fact that all the romantic relationships in the series, in this 10 episode, are all, you know, more or less heterosexual. You know what I mean? Rogue and Gambit, Magneto and Rogue and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Forge and Forge and Storm and stuff like that. They're all kind of Professor X and Leandro, all heterosexual and stuff like that in its own way. The only one that's queer is hinting at it. It's just Wolverine and Morph, which is fine, which is great.
No, I think it's more like a one-sided thing with Morph, though.
Yeah, it was stuff like that. But no matter what, I would categorize it as sort of like in the background, stuff like that. I do think in the second season and going forward, they need to have a correlation that's sort of like front and center and stuff
but
like that.
Don't you gotta blame the source material though for this part?
Yeah, no. I think you can update. They updated so much and stuff like that. They can fit it in.
Yeah,
they can figure it
but
out.
But these characters though, come on, you gotta give them at least some slack here. For these characters, it's kind of hard.
No.
The only one they could play around with is Morph because he's like not that well known, so they can play around with that.
They could have done with Morph and stuff, but they can retcon all these kind of different things. I think they have to take the L for that. I don't think there's a reason for it not to. And there is queer representation in the sort of like background characters. You see, two gay guys almost get killed at Genosha and all that. But like I said, it's just like the Morph from Morph. It's sort of like secondary in the background.
Hmm.
They have to in the second season have one front and center. You know, that's all I'm saying. I think you get the mirror for that.
Even the current comic books has a hard time with that. You know, I don't know how they're gonna pull that off, quite honestly.
There's some major characters that are
there are two of them. There are two of them. You know, like spoilers to the comic books? Mm-hmm. Should this be mentioned? I'm not sure if this is considered spoilers for the comic books.
I think most
future. No, you know what? Let's not do that because it's a potential future spoiler for the series.
Nobody reads comic books anymore.
This is potential future spoilers for the TV show. If that's the case, they adapt that aspect into the show.
Well, then we give credit for being procrastinators and stuff.
So unless they bring those characters into the show, which they haven't yet, then I don't know how they're going to do that. They can't suddenly make Scott Summers gay. I mean, that's not something they can do. I don't think so.
Summers not gay in the comic books. You think about Scott Summers?
I thought it was Scott Summers. No, see. Like I said, the potential spoilers for future seasons. So I don't want to cover that. I mean, we can do it after credits.
We don't have inside knowledge or anything like that. It's just all speculative and stuff like that.
I don't want to speculate. Like I just said, I don't want to speculate on future episodes.
There are two main characters. There are two big characters. Both characters I'm thinking of. I spoiled one, I guess. But there are two main queer characters I know in the X-Men run. That's already been in this show and stuff like that. They can bring them back.
Yeah, they've been in the show, but they're not part of the cast, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Right?
All I know is they had 10 episodes. This is a wide, huge cast. They point for all kinds of different stories. A lot of different characters. They brought back new characters. They brought in new old characters and stuff like that. They could have found room and stuff like that. You know, like I said, when it's the most important thing about the story you're telling, the most important thing about the X-Men is the core allegories. I think you have to find room.
I'm gonna have to side with the direction they went with the show, and I think
obviously one of us is an outlier.
I'm more understandable of what they did here. Okay, he clearly had a vision from episode 1 to 10. This is how it's all gonna play out.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
So maybe he couldn't find some time to put anything like that additional to the story.
I just love gay people. I'm like my co-host.
This might be in season 2 for all I know, which like I said, which I don't want to speculate right now. All right.
I am an ally.
so the other thing that I do want to also point out, besides the ones that they killed off other characters like Madeline Pryor, This is part of my complaint of the original show in the 90s. Moves way too fast, right? I grew up with the whole like Chris Claremont run, and everything played out months to years, right, before it gets to its conclusion. And the 90s show was all about finish it in one episode, finish it in two episodes, right? Don't let it breathe. And my complaint with this show, even the 97 version, was that it doesn't let things breathe, right? It's a basically things happen plot-wise. Yeah, there's a team to the stories now, a lot more than before, but it's still a very much a plot-based TV show, which I said that I prefer TV shows that wasn't plot-based because I want things to breathe and grow kind of thing. But yeah, they managed to make it work in this one. But you're complaining about the last three episodes, and I'm saying those three episodes where they tried to cram everything else together, that's been going on for the whole series. Like every episode felt like, okay, here's the Goblin Queen. And then at the end of the episode, no more Goblin Queen. I'm like, really? You're not just going to like play around with that for the rest of the season to go into the second two?
Honestly, I liked it. I liked it at the beginning. I didn't like it at the end. I mean, I didn't like it. Yeah, I didn't like it at the end. I liked the beginning where it just goes 100 miles per hour. I'm like, I am of the belief, like, hey, you know what? F it. Let's just go for it, man. We've been waiting 30 years for these new stories and stuff like that. Let's just go. You know, let's just zip along. Let's do a trial of Magneto and stuff like that. Let's have the bottom green the next one.
No, but the trial of Magneto didn't have to last that long. So one episode I can understand. This isn't like Beast in the first season of X-Men where he's in jail the whole time. You know, this isn't like that.
I just say let's go, man. Crazy stuff has been happening in this reality for like a couple years now. Let's just like, you know, let's just go.
No, but what I'm saying is this is one of my main complaints about the original 90s run was that it moved way too fast. And this series
it's even faster.
Did the same exact thing.
It's all crap.
Right?
It's all
and, crap. And I'm saying is that they somehow made it work. And I'm okay with it. I'm enjoying it. It's completely the opposite of the kind of show that I said, like, oh, we should support. You know, this is exactly the plot-based thing that I've been complaining about. Like, why are people asking for this kind of plot-based TV series? Mm-hmm. And then this does exactly that, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. So I give them credit for that, right? But it would be nice. It would be nice. Like Rogue slowly becoming into this angry person by the end of the season. That's growth, you know, kind of thing. The whole thing with Jean Grey and Cyclops, like they can't pick and choose whether they love each other, they hate each other, they love each other, they hate each other. It just, and at the very end, oh, they love each other. And it's like, it kind of moved a little fast. They could have, like, if this was like Game of Thrones, this will be like three seasons long kind of situation where it's like you have no idea where they're gonna go with that. But no, this one. Oh, and but Nathan, oh, you're Cable, yo, you're my son. He kind of thing is like, okay, I guess we're just gonna drop it there. So it's like,
I don't think it's resolved yet. I don't think the Scott and Jean thing is resolved yet. I don't know if they love each other at the end of this and stuff like that. The circumstances thrown them together and stuff like that. They had a nice moment with their son. With the child, I guess, but I don't know if I read it as they're together and stuff like that.
Oh, and the Storm losing her powers and gaining back practically the next episode.
That I think needed a little bit more of a breathing room.
So, in the comic books, that took years before that happened, and there was this whole arc where Storm didn't have powers and she still beat the X-Men. Remember that thing? Mm-hmm. She was still the leader of the X-Men. She beat Cyclops even without powers, and I was hoping like maybe they can need to do that.
That part I kind of agree with. And says, I wish she would make her way back to the X-Men and did things without her powers.
She grew her hair back magically.
Wonderful. That part is great. I love that part.
I mean, like, there's no explanation at all. Like, if this was any other show, the fans would nitpick the hell out of it, right?
It's not nitpick, though. No, it's a comic book. What do you call it? It's a comic book TV show.
She didn't grow her hair back that fast in the comic books.
I don't know how to explain what do you call it? The fact that what do you call it? She's a mutant. You know what I mean? that's not real life.
Okay. This isn't spoilers for a future season because clearly they're not doing it anymore. But in the comic books, Forge and Storm finds themselves in the realm of the adversary or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And they were there for years. Like in Earthspan, they were there for maybe weeks or days, but in that world, they were there for years, and they grew. They were a loving couple. They had like a ranch in the forest or something like that. Yeah. And eventually, Storm grew out her mohawk into a full length of hair before she came back to our world, essentially. So that's how the comic book explained it. This one was like,
it's just
she just grew her hair back.
You just have to go with it, Matt. It's called an adaptation. It's called compression of time.
It doesn't make sense though. It's kind of like it's a cartoon suddenly. It's a cartoon. Oh, they got wet.
Just put them
to the next scene and he's dry. I mean, come on.
You either have to go with it or you don't. I don't know. It's an adaptation. Like I said. It's how
clearly I went with it because I still love this season, yeah. Right?
It's magical.
I'm saying, it's just that this series does everything that I complain about or fans complain about in the shows and movies they watch, and somehow they still made it work. So
somehow Wonder Woman does a twirl and she does a complete costume change. It's just magical. Well, it's just wonderful.
Are you talking about the Linda Carter one? Because I mean, come on, that's Linda Carter.
They also referenced it in the cartoon. They did it in the cartoon and stuff like that.
I thought they did it as a joke in the cartoon.
Well, they still did it though, right? Was as an homage.
Maybe it's an homage because she doesn't normally do that. She's always in a Wonder Woman costume in the cartoon, in the anime. Yeah. It was only Superman that does it.
You just have to go with it. You have to go with it, man.
Yeah.
One of my favorite travel cartoons is like they had Iceman put himself in encase himself in a block of ice and then he comes out of his costume. Firestorm, I think, burned herself as she comes out of the closet. It's magical. It's magical, man.
Oh man,
it's fun times. It's fun times.
Fun times indeed.
It's a wonderful episode and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Okay, all right, and I do like the after credits or the mid credits or whatever you call it, and leading up to season two. So, if there's any doubt of where they're gonna go with season two, there we go.
Somehow Apocalypse has come back, has returned.
Yeah. And for no spoilers for future storylines with this thing, but the Ascani clan thing, good stuff there.
I read those comics, yes.
And Sabaneur stuff, good stuff there. So yeah, the direction for season two is looking pretty good. So, and I'm sure they're gonna clear it up in like two episodes.
I'm hoping while they're away, I'm hoping Forge, instead of running off in a time stream, I hope he creates his own little X-Men, X-Factor, whatever.
No, that's right. But isn't that what they're implying? Because he was looking at the board and looking at the potential X-Men or whatever.
Oh, but then it looked like he's going to go on a little road trip with Bishop. So I don't know where it's going.
Yeah, but see, now you're thinking like a regular TV show. This is X-Men 97, man. They move at 100 miles per hour. Well, no, 200 miles per hour. They'll be done in like two episodes.
I have a preference for not next season, but two seasons, three seasons from now. I have a preference of where I want this to go and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's not.
And we're not going to talk about it because I don't want to do a future speculation.
We're not psychics. We don't have Nostradamus powers and stuff like that.
I'm saying there's no point talking about it.
There's always a point from it. But yeah, there's some good stuff. There's plenty of, I mean, that's obvious. It's in the 30 years since the TV show went off, there's been a lot of comic books and stuff like that they could just pull from and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they really, with the whole Genosha thing, clearly they're not just focused on the Claremont run. So there's that. What's his face? Wolverine. I'm curious to see how long they're going to take it before Wolverine gets back into adamantium. Because based on what's happened with Storm, you know, this might not be a temporary thing. Or this might not be a permanent thing. It might be a temporary thing with him losing the adamantium. But I would like to see that play out for a whole season. Maybe. But this show...
I don't think it's a spoiler because the head writer you mentioned earlier, he talked about it on Twitter. It's not a spoiler, but where Magneto and where Wolverine ended up are two different places. So there's not going to be an easy fix.
But that wasn't how he got his adamantium back in the comics.
Right. But I'm just saying the easiest, the fastest fix would be Magneto undoing the damage. They're not going to do that. Yeah,
that'll be cheap to do that, though.
Yeah, yeah. So I think this one will be a while.
But then, just like in X-Men 97, Storm grew out of hair. I'm sure it's possible.
Yeah, but Wolverine more important to the overall story.
We'll see. Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts before we wrap this up?
It's one of the best TV shows. One of the TV shows of the year. One of the best adaptations. I'm sorry. One of the best reboots in recent years. And like I said, episode 5 is one of the best TV single episodes I've seen of television. So overall, I give it an A.
Yeah, this is a solid A as well for me. I mean, like I said, I have complaints, the same complaints I had for the 90s show, but this season just made it work. It just made it work in spades, and it's fantastic. Love it.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right. And there we go then, folks. X-Men 97, thanks for listening.
No, okay. No.
At least say nah.
No.
Did you hear about the thing, how that's apparently ripped off from somebody? You hear about that?
Oh, yeah, I know. But
either way, it's on YouTube somewhere.
Right. I've also heard from, this is a bit of a tangent. So I've also heard from like music experts, all that stuff is kind of BS and some of that. Every music only has there's only certain progressions or chords and some of that play over and over. It's about how you mix and some of that. That's where artistry is. True magicians who understand how music is composed and put together, they say all that stuff is not that big a deal.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah,
I mean, how do people think that artists like recreate their song that they like you like?
Yeah,
they recreate it in a different way, but it sounds similar.
Yeah, no. And also, I want to mention 10 episodes this season. I did not skip the intro in any one of them.
I was just going to say that. I'm like, I have to see the intro because they make changes in the intro and all that stuff. It's like, it's pretty fun. Like, how often do you watch a streaming TV show and the little pop-up goes, skip intro, and you don't click on it?
Nope.
This is one of those shows where you don't click on it. You actually like want to see the intro because, first off, iconic theme song. And secondly, they actually make changes in the show. So, in the intro. So, yeah, amazing.
And I don't know if it's deliberate. I don't know if they had the thought in their head, but I've been watching a lot of anime recently and stuff like that. And the thing with anime and stuff like that, the introduction, the little song, and the visuals, whatever, they kind of like foreshadow what are you going to watch for the rest of the season.
They do, yeah.
I don't know if it's a little, but X-Men 97 has that too. You know what I mean?
Yes, it does.
The intro, the what changes, and stuff like that, it kind of plays into what you're watching and stuff like that. So
yeah.
And also, it's just a bang, what do you call it? It's just a bang intro.
Yeah. One of the best intros ever.
Yeah.
Of any TV show.
No.
I mean, they only hinted the Phoenix so many times.
Yeah, I get it.
We get it. The Phoenix coming back. Where is it now?
I know. Like, episode 9, you haven't shown up yet, but I you got to see it for then. I get it.
Oh, they're gonna be at the dark side of the moon? Okay, when is it gonna happen? When is it gonna happen? Yeah. You'll be hitting it.
Okay, yes, I remember it's breathable. I understand. There's an episode in the earlier run where yes, there's a breathable part. Yes. I'm not gonna catch you slipping. I understand. I'm not gonna nitpick on that. I understand it's breathable parts. I get it. Good Lord. Come on.
And another credit I will give though is that even though they showed scenes in the intro from the 90s version, it was reanimated. Mm-hmm. So yes. I did like that they did that, which I think is what fueled the fan base going, oh, just reanimate the whole series. I'm like, that's too much, guys. That's too much.
It's okay. Let's just move forward, man. Let's get to season 2, season 3. Let's just get forward and stuff like that.
Yes. Speaking of moving forward.
And also, one more thing. This is about what we've talked about last couple episodes. And stuff like that. This is a really good example of why new Rockstar, Screen Crush, they're still relevant and stuff like that. You know, after I watched the first 10 episodes. After I watched the 10 episodes, I went back and watched all the new rock stars and new Screen Crush. And like I said, it's still relevant in my life. But as I was watching those breakdowns, it still represents the best and worst in these kind of breakdown videos. Like I said, a new rock star, big fan, I love him and stuff like that. But when he does episode, he doesn't have to speculate what's going to happen in the next episode. You know what I mean? It's okay. Right. You don't have to. You can put a pause on. You know what I need is when you pause the thing and figure out what the numbers mean. You know what I mean? Like what those license plate means to what comic book the reference. That's what I need you for. At one point, they paused on the garage and did a lot of airplanes and motorcycles, and then went back. And found that's what I need you for. Thank you. And the fact, and not just that sort of thing, but also they tied together some story stuff. I mean, with the visuals, they mentioned about how there's a lot in the animation, a lot of reflection and stuff like that, water and stuff like that, what that means. Yes. Thank you. Yes. I need you're putting. Because some of the stuff I pick up on somewhere in part of my brain, but they're able to pull it together and articulate it, put it in a thing where I understand, where it clicks in my brain. Thank you. That's what I need you guys for. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Big thumbs up.
I'm the same way too. I watch the breakdown video, but I totally don't watch the speculation videos. I just don't bother.
Yeah. Screen Crush has a little less of it. But new Rockstar, I love Eric Boss, but he just sometimes goes on these little tangents and speculates. It's like, you don't have to do this. I know you're probably doing it for, it's part of fandom. I get that. But it's also, I think, are you padding the 30 minutes? You know what I mean? Because otherwise it'd be like 20 minutes. You have to pad this video. So it's fine. Just relax. Relax a little bit. Chill.
Agreed. Speaking of chilling, that was my segue. It was, speaking about the future. You can find this podcast on Instagram Threads and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads as well at Albert5x5.
Anyway, you find me on social media, JIAMNGLOU.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found on whowhatwhereswhy.com. This was 771 of the Stuff and Junk Show, as well as Spiders Please number 274. Thanks for listening. I lost myself.
What a dramatic pause.
It wasn't a dramatic pause. I just paused.
Easy. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who What Worst Wife production.
It's the greatest. It's kind of the greatest. It's a good thing and stuff like that.
It is time for spoiler talk. X-Men.
Did you ever see you must have, where the guy put lyrics to the song and stuff like that?
No, I have not seen that. That's on YouTube somewhere?
It's on YouTube somewhere. It's like, oh, here comes. Because he matches the lyrics match the character that you see during the thing. You know what I mean? Oh, this is Cyclops. He does optic beams or something like that.
I'll go look it up and I'll put in the show notes.
I tried looking it up. I couldn't find it earlier and stuff like that. Anyway, but I'm sure it's there somewhere. But it's good. Good. And of course, you've seen the Japanese animated thing from back in the 90s, right?
Yes, I did that.
Yeah, of course.
X-Men theme song with lyrics. Let's see. And there he goes.
Oh, it's there? Okay,
yeah, it's there. Yeah.
No.
Oh, so this apparently was a thing.
it went viral whenever it came out. So
okay. And okay. All right. It'll be in the show. All right. All right, then. Until next time. Bye.
Later.